there was this divine encounter that occurred between the Samaritan woman and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I've ministered on this many times, but there are some aspects of that truth that God is making known to me that I wanted to share with you today, that I believe it'll help you to appreciate God even all the more. I know we've been here a while, and one of the things that I was thinking about as I was sitting there, I was meditating on the fact that when the Holy Spirit is moving, we're talking about the days of God's power, those times when when the earth was experiencing revival. And there were times, the Bible speaks of those as those times of refreshing in the book of Acts chapter 3. It talks about the times of refreshing that comes down from the Father. During those times of refreshing, then the Lord became the agenda, rather, was set by Him. And people would stay before the Lord hours and hours and hours of time, waiting on God, praying to the Lord, listening to what God had to say, and understand there was an intensity that would continue to well up among the people because they expected God to do something in their midst. God was, in fact, doing things, but they were expecting God to do more. And let me tell you something. During this hour, we did many things today that were a part of a program, but let me tell you something. There's a move of God taking place among us. And I don't want you to think that during these times that the move that God has lifted his hand. But there are many things that God is going to do among us. There are many things he's doing. And there are many things that he is about to do that's going to take us far beyond anything that we've ever, ever imagined. But going back to this woman at the well, let me read from the fourth chapter of John. Let's begin fourth chapter of John. And I'm for the sake of time, I'm going to go right into the seventh verse where it says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews hate or have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God. And that's where I want to really focus our attention. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. If you knew the gift of God, and there are two things that are implied in this. If you knew the gift of God, and if you knew it was who asked for a drink, if that's a statement that was made, or the assumption was, is when the word or the statement if is spoken, it was saying the question that you would ask Jesus, is this an assumption? Are you assuming that I don't know the gift of God? Now, you can understand how people can become very defensive when you began to use such language as Jesus used in relation to the Samaritan woman, because it was implied that she did not know the gift of God. And you want to really get a person to a place of let's say, ruffling up their feathers is when you begin to cast a shadow of doubt upon what they think they understand, what they think they know. But Jesus came straight to the point, and he said, if you knew the gift of God, in other words, you don't know the gift of God. That was really the implication. You don't really know the gift of God. You don't know the gift of God. I understand she was religious because she had knowledge of worship. If you look further down, you'll begin to see her knowledge of worship. She knew that her fathers worshipped in the mountains and that the Jews worshipped in Jerusalem. So it wasn't a matter of her lacking knowledge in relation to worship. But understand, there are things that we can understand intellectually. There are things that we can grasp, or concepts that we can grasp hold of intellectually, but yet not really possess them, not really possess the understanding, or really had not taken hold of that which God has made available to us. So we have to understand the distinction between the two. And this word if is really this wedge between what she thought she knew and what she really knew. If you knew the gift of God, in other words, you don't know the gift of God. Why can Jesus be so adamant in speaking to her that she doesn't know the gift of God? He said, and if you knew who it was that was standing before you asking you for a drink. So in other words, you don't know who I am. That was really the statement she was making. She was really saying to him, you don't know who I am. In other words, you have reduced me down to a common Jewish man, individual, that's full of prejudices. Because you understand the attitude that she had is that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And there are prejudices, understand, in that particular day that a Samaritan was considered a half-breed. And as a result of being a half-breed, the person, a Jew, would actually spit on the sidewalk or spit on the ground as a way of saying how despicable a Samaritan really is. This is someone that is less than the less of humanity. So the attitude was very condescending. You are nothing as far as I'm concerned. And that's why Jesus said, I have to go through Samaria, when Samaria was the shortest distance to where he was headed, but Jews would go all the way around the scenic route in order to avoid passing through this region of Samaria. But here Jesus said, I'm taking a direct route. I'm going directly through Samaria to my destination because there's something that God has assigned for me to do. The Father has me on assignment. So I'm going through and I'm going to encounter the people that the others have rejected. I'm going to encounter the ones that others have written off. Those who others have looked down upon. My assignment at this particular juncture in my life is to encounter them. Now, I want you to see where God is in this. That there are assignments that God gives us where we oftentimes, it doesn't have to be Jew and Samaritan, it could be anybody. Who are the people that you would avoid? Who are the ones that you would consider to be the least likely that you would have any kind of interaction with? And understand, these are the ones. And God can give you an assignment now to say that I'm going to send you to the people that you would consider the least of the less are the ones. And it doesn't just have to be those that are impoverished, those that are poor. It could be those that you have already evaluated, and you have this preconceived notion that they're not open to or susceptible to the message that you have to deliver. Not only the message, they are there. They would reject you even if you showed up. But Jesus said, but the Father said, the Holy Spirit has sent the Son to Samaria. And there he has his encounter with this woman that's coming to the well. Now understand this, Jesus, it wasn't just a matter of assumption, because the question was it assumption or spiritual discernment? It was spiritual discernment. The Lord Jesus was already looking into this woman's life, and he was able to see all of the defects, all of the things that she had been searching for throughout her life. I want you to hear this, your journey. And I'm talking to you as an individual. I'm sitting next to you now. Holy Spirit is trying to get across to you as an individual. Each one of you having a journey. You have a journey. There are things that you have encountered over your lifetime. There are things that you have sought after. There are things that you've desired. There are passions that have welled within your heart throughout your journey. You see, there are things that you wanted. There are things that you wanted. But here's the problem is that have you ever taken time to really question your passions, question your desires, question the longings that reside within your heart as to why you desire a particular thing? Have you ever taken time to really think about it? Why is it that this urge is so strong within me that I want this thing so desperately? I want this thing so bad. You know, it could be a person. It could be a thing. It could be a number of things. But understand, God has made you and he has created you in such a way that he has given you yearnings and desires and passion. There's nothing wrong with being passionate. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be loved and to be appreciated and all these other things that we as human beings go after. But understand, we can go after the right thing, but look for the right thing in the wrong places. Seeking love, seeking appreciation, seeking acceptance, but we're going in the wrong places looking after it. So now, as a result of this woman's journey, she ended up giving her body to many men. She began to sleep with many men, having sex with men. Her thing is that if I could be, I have to give my body to a man in order for a man to accept me. I want to be loved by the opposite sex, but the only way they will accept me is that I have to give my body to them. So as a result of that, she was being passed from one man to the next, to the next, to the next. You see, she's being passed from one man to another, one man to another. And as a result of it, each time I believe the infatuation was so strong that she said, this is the one. This one is going to answer my prayer, the answer to my prayers. This one is going to resolve my problem. This one. My life quest is to have what I have right now. But after a period of time, she would discover that it was only a pipe dream. That there was no substance to the relationship. How do you see it? So you think about it. Many of us, many of you have gone from relationship to relationship to relationship over a period of your life. I'm talking about even some of you are married now and you're connected to the person that God would have you join to. But let's look at the previous journey. Let's think about the times when that love that you were seeking after could not be found, but you were infatuated thinking that you had found it. And what happens? You would have done anything to please the person that you thought you were in love with. But you got to hear the rest of this message here. This is what is being said. This woman's yearning and her emptiness was the reason that the Lord, first of all, was saying, first of all, he was concerned about the whole region of Samaria. But he said, but there's going to be a person in that particular area that will become that catalyst for change throughout the whole region. Some person that's wanting something that they can't find, that they're seeking that which would satisfy them, and they're not finding that satisfaction, that person could very well become the catalyst for change if they only had the right encounter. Oh, you got to get connected to the right man now. You can't just go around and thinking that this one is going to... See, they're there to exploit you. They're there to take advantage. Friendships. It doesn't have to be relationships that way, intimate relationships. It could be friendships. It could be a number of ways we connect ourselves. But you're really looking for something that you cannot find. But you have to also look at what he said. If you knew the gift of God... But it also says, and the one who's asking you for a drink. Now, let's look at what was taking place, the dynamics of it all. First of all, Jesus did not come to her and discern and to speak to her concerning what he saw in her. But what he did, he approached her with his own need. He approached her with his own need. Now, he is the Son of God, but he came in human flesh. So his humanity had a need. What was the need? It was a need for a drink. Now, let's go back to the Old Testament, the days of David. Let's look at David now. When David was on a journey or in a conquest, he was moving from one place to another, and he would reach a place where there was some land, and there was water, and there was food, and all of those things, livestock, everything available, so that he might partake of what was made available, and not only for himself, but for his army to partake of what might be available, he would ask for it first. But if the hosts refused to grant the request, guess what happens? It became more than a request, it became a conquest. David said, in other words, if you don't give it to me, I'm going to take it. If you don't give me this, I will take it. But understand what Jesus was saying. He was saying, I want you to give me a drink. I want you to give me a drink. I want you to reach past your previous perceptions of Jews. I want you to get past all the things that you've heard about and read about concerning Jews, things that you've experienced in relation to Jews, because many of us have been wounded by people of other races, other cultures, haven't you? You see, those wounds are very deep. Now we changed our name to Cross Culture Church. And the reason we did this, and this is why this message is so appropriate, it's so on time, is because if we're going to be a cross-cultural ministry, we cannot carry the wounds of the past to the degree that we wear them on our shoulders, so that we have an edge every time we come around people that don't look like us, act like us, think like us. Because if we're going to be the extension of the love of Jesus Christ, then that love must be of such that even those that have issues with us will experience that love in ways that they never experienced it before. Are you hearing me now? So in other words, if they have a problem, that's their problem. That's not your problem. Your assignment, that's why God will send you in that direction, is to love with his love in a way that they'll know that they've been loved by the Lord. You see that? That's what God has sent for us to do, is to love everybody. It's to love everybody. It's to see past those divisions and those things. You see, in other words, we can't be so adamant about any political party. We can't be so Republican that we just buy into the agenda hook, line, and sinker. We can't be so Democratic that we hook into the agenda hook, line, and sinker. But our position is this. I'm not for this. I'm not against this. But I'm for the Lord. I'm for the Lord. And you see, that which God would have done and that which God would have said, that's what we represent now. You understand this? So as a result of that, this will not be. There are some that refuse. Understand, this woman had a choice. She could have said, not only do we not have any dealings with the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, so my reaction to your attitude is that I have no dealings with you. So get out of my face. How do they do it? How do the girls do it? They put their hand out and throw that dish, and say, just get out of my face. She could have had that attitude. Then he said, but ma'am, he said, look, y'all don't have anything to do with us. See, generally speaking, right? You have nothing to do with us. You have no dealings with us. So why should I waste my time even talking to you? In fact, I'm insulted in the fact that you would even approach me. But here's what she allowed to happen. She allowed herself to be engaged in a conversation. It's time for us to talk, isn't it? It's time for us to talk. If we could just get people to talk. If we could just get people to talk. Let's say if we represent the Lord, I just want somebody to listen to me. See, that should be our attitude. If we could just get, see, if they would listen to you, what message would you have to deliver? What message would I deliver? Because all we want to do is to get the attention. Now understand, the devil, the enemy, is trying to blind the eyes of individuals and stop their ears so they can't hear and darken their hearts so that they cannot receive what God has to offer. So let me tell you something. Your journey through Samaria is going to be a very dangerous journey. There's going to be a whole lot of rejection. But understand, you better be wise as serpents and harmless as doves as we go from this place to the place that God is in fact taking us. Let me tell you, it's not for the faint-hearted. Let me tell you something. If you're going to be a part of this team, I'm talking about the Jesus team, the group that's going to represent him in these last days, you can't be faint-hearted. You can't be faint-hearted. And understand this. You can't allow little things, pettiness, to get in the way of where God is wanting to take you. You cannot be so wrapped up into yourself that you can't hear the instructions that God is yet speaking. Because the biggest thing that can drown out the voice of God is your own presuppositions and your own way of thinking and how people are looking for things and to be said and done that agree with their premises rather than allow their minds and hearts to be changed. God is about transforming our lives, not about agreeing with us. And the only way to get us to a place of transformation, first of all, we must be confronted with that which is a disagreement. You see, God wants to first show us the areas where we are in disagreement. The things that in your life does not measure up to God's standard. Let's not look at all the things. Let's look at the checklist. This is, I'm good here, I'm good there. I'm good here, I'm good there, I'm good there. So apparently I measure up to God's standard. No, let's get the other checklist out. Let's look at all the areas of defects that reside within our lives. I don't measure up to this. I don't measure up to that. I don't measure up to the other. And pretty much everything all the way down the line, all I see are areas where I do not measure up. But now, what am I setting myself up for? I am set up for the encounter now. Jesus didn't ask that woman to give a drink because she was good. You're a good woman, so therefore, if you give me a drink, then everything is going to be all right with you. No, you're a woman that's lost. You're a woman that's out of the will of God. You're a woman that your life is in danger. You're bent towards destruction and doom. He said, but Jesus so gently comes to a woman like that and says, give me a drink. Give me a drink. You know, would that be the starting point of your discussion with a woman that was living, she would be considered a harlot? Would that be the beginning of your discussion? Give me a drink. Give me a drink. I want you to take that which you have the ability to release to me and release it to me. I want you to give me a drink. I'm giving you an overview today because we'll go deeper into this as in the days to come. But understand, give me a drink. Just give me a drink. Give me a drink. And the woman looked at Jesus and said, you know, you got your nerves. You got your nerves. Are you aware of the fact that I'm a Samaritan, or did you mistake me for somebody else? Did you mistake me? You say, Jews have no dealings. She didn't say that Samaritans have no dealings with the Jews. She said Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So oftentimes it's reactionary. It says, so the reactionary religions of Samaritans is that they try to copy as closely as they can the activities of the Jews without being a Jew. They said, so what we do, we will build our own temple. We will have our own style of worship. We will do our own thing. And we will do everything we can to be as closely assimilated to that which was established by you without being a carbon copy of what you're doing, of what you've done. Listen to me now. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want you to hear something here. This is what God is trying to get us to understand here. What God is trying to get us to understand, when we get past our prejudices, I'm going to go there now. If we get past our prejudices, then God can begin to use you in a very unique way. In a very unique way. Let me tell you something. Right now, I'm saying this because this is not the church. The composition of members within this house is not the church as God intends for the church to be. Do you see that? He does not want us to be a black church, an African church, an African-American church, a church of people of dark complexion. That's not God's intention. You see, neither does he want us to become a white church, and adapting our style and our everything to what we consider to be a white form of worship and a white style and all those other kind of things. But listen to what I'm saying here. But the creativity that God will produce among us can only come when our focus is upon Him exclusively. And then out of our experiences, out of our encounter, the encounters that we have with God, will come forth an expression that will be unique. Are you hearing something here? It will be unique to the kind of people that we are in the process of becoming, because our songs will reflect the process that God is taking us through. Are you hearing me now? Because the song, He will give songs in the night. He will give us songs in the night. That will be something that God will begin to say through us. I so appreciate, I left my message that I was going to preach, but I was thinking about Andre Crouch. I was thinking about Andre Crouch and the song that he wrote was an anthem. And the anthem that it became an anthem. It became like a hymn. It was "To God Be the Glory." How can I give thanks for all the things that God, He has done for me? Things so undeserved, yet He gave to prove His love for me. The voices of a million angels cannot express my gratitude. All that I am and all that I hope to be, I owe it all to Thee. To God be the glory. Now, what kind of song could be born like that from an individual that was of this persuasion? But let me tell you something. When our hearts have been deeply dealt with, you see, when God begins to cut deep within our hearts and we get past our prejudices, well, we're not trying to avoid something just to be different. But our attitude is of such that we say, Lord, are we trying to do something just to be ethnically correct or politically correct? Then God can begin to take us on a journey in a direction where an expression of love will begin to well up within our hearts, and understand it will be a gift from God that will meet needs that we are struggling to meet on our own. In other words, here we are trying to, how can I please God? And how can I take care of my family? How can I please God? And how can I have resources that will produce what is necessary? How can I make a difference in my day? How can I make a difference in my generation or with my generation? God is saying, I have already given you the tools and the resources, but the tools and the resources for change are contained within the message that you're hearing that the enemy will try to get you to reject. Because if you could just take hold of what God is saying to you right now, look at how much can be birthed out of what you're currently hearing. Look at all of the things that can be produced out of this that is necessary for the world in this day and this hour. You see, the world needs what we have to offer. But let's look at where Jesus was. Jesus said, but I want you to give me what you have. You have some water, right? You have access to water. I'm not going to take it, but I'm going to request that you give me what you are capable of giving me. And that's all the Lord is asking right now. Give it to me. Give it to me. When you keep trying to manage it, what you're going to do, you're going to always have to carry water. Every day, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And you're going to be, it's going to be a job. Your journey will be a job. You see, it's a job. When I mean labor, intensive labor that does not produce any joy, but you're doing it because of necessity. But here's what happened. Jesus said, I have so much more to give you, but you need to have a divine encounter. You see, it's not intellectualism. It's not a matter of trying to gather in a whole lot of ideas and thoughts and information into your head, and now you think that that would be sufficient enough for you to be successful in life. But God is helping you to understand, I need the word to be more. In fact, let me tell you something. My preaching the word to you is not for this to become an end, but a means towards an end. You see, preaching is not the end. It is a means towards the end. It is to help people, because you don't stop here. But I'm introducing you to the one that could take you much further than I can ever take you. It's to help you to see Christ. It's to bring you to the place of seeing Christ. You see, one of the biggest problems, challenges we have, if we become so much into getting you to see me and to be directed towards me, then I've missed it. In fact, not only have I missed it, I've done harm to the cause of Christ. Because what happens when it's directed towards me and you, or preaching even. Preaching, I'm talking about the word, even, let me go even further, studying the word of God. You see, if that becomes the end within itself, we've missed it. But understand, we got to take the word of God, we take the preaching of the word. They are, in fact, vitally necessary. Understand, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall he preach unless be sent? The word of God is a light into our path. It is a lamp into our feet, a light into our pathway. So we do not reduce the potency of the word or the value of the message, but they are not the end within themselves. Because understand, this is the written word, and we can become legalistic in relation to preaching. We can become legalistic in relation to church. We can become legalistic in relation to every experience we have in relation to God. But here's what it is. I want you to look into the scripture. He says, search the scripture. In them you think you have eternal life. If you search the scripture, you're not saved because you can recite the whole Bible. If you can quote the whole Bible, you still not, it still doesn't, it doesn't constitute salvation. In them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. In the volume of the books, it's all about the Lord. So understand, when you get to heaven, there's no preaching in heaven. You don't have to preach in heaven. Why? Because you will know him even as he's known. So everything. John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. John was the greatest prophet of all, but he understood that his lot, that he had to fade in order for the Lord to be seen as he really is. So every effort on our part is merely introductory. We're bringing you to the place of the divine encounter. And if that's not our objective, we've missed it in our pursuit to please God. And you've missed it because you came for the wrong reason. You locked in to one thing rather than taking it as far as it ought to go. I failed you if you don't have a divine encounter. You see that? If the Holy Spirit, and I pray this all the time, is that every one of you, and I would, he said, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God, your questions would not, you see, your response would not be that way. If you knew the gift of God, you see, because he said, give me a drink. How is it that you, a Jew, asked me, a Samaritan, for a drink? If you knew the gift of God, hear the dynamic. If you knew the gift of God, she just said, her question is, how is it you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, to give you a drink? Did you not know, you see? Did you not know that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? See, and then he says, if you knew the gift of God. So understand, our response to his request exposes what we know or what we don't know. If you knew the gift of God. In other words, you wouldn't have responded that way if you knew the gift of God. So it's obvious that you don't know the gift of God based upon your questions, based upon your response to my request. You understand? What did God ask you for? How did you respond to his request? The Lord says, I want you to give me honor, give me glory, bring to me a particular thing. God may even say tithe, you see, whatever. You see, I'm not being shy about or bashful in that. I usually skirt around issues of finances. But whatever God requires of us, you see, our response to his request. I want you to be faithful. I want you to be diligent in service. I want you to be at a place where you're prayerful. I want you to attend service. I want your disciplines to be a particular way. What is your response to God's request? And understand, it's a request. First of all, it's a request to you, but to be very candid with you, it's a command. It's a command. What are your responses to God's command? How do you handle it if God says, I require this of you? First of all, I'd like for you to do this. But what if he says, I require this of you? What is your response to that or reaction to God's command? What is your response to his request? What is your reaction to his command? It determines the disposition of your heart. He said, now, I can tell that you're not there. Jesus, knowing that, but you understand in the human experience, he will bring us to the place of exposing to us that he knows. He says, I'm going to show you that you're not there yet. If you knew the gift of God, he could assume that, or he could say that in his heart, but he spoke it out so that she could hear it. If you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God, you don't know what God has given you. You don't know. And then he says, and who it is who's standing before you asking you for a drink. You see, you don't know the gift of God, because if you knew the gift of God, you would know the person that's requesting. You see, the request has come from the gift of God. The request has come from the Son of God, which you don't know, but yet you are involved in worship. See, you still go. See, let's contemporize it. You still go to church. You're still involved in church service. You still serve on the Usher board. You're still a part of the choir. You're still involved and engaged in all kind of activities within the church. And you think that all of that activity is going to be sufficient. The Lord said, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God, then it won't take a whole lot of twisting and any kind of coercion to get you to a place of responding rightly to him, if you knew the gift of God. But my mind is not leaving you there and saying, if you knew the gift of God. I'm saying that I trust that even as the word is going forth, that there will be a rising of interest within your hearts to know what is unknown. You see, that's what this is all about. I want you to be in a place where you are honest with yourself and say, there's something that there's something of Christ yet to be known that I don't know. And my behavior is governed by the lack of knowledge. You see, I don't do the things that I ought to do because I lack knowledge in those things. But as long as you're trying to impress, you'll never get attained to that knowledge, because here she was trying to impress. You see, the confrontation had taken place, and then she wanted to impress. Our fathers worship in the mountains. Our fathers worship out of. No, first of all, you're a prophet. No, our fathers worship mountains. But then when he told about the experience that some other things are going on, he said, but our fathers worship in the mountains. You're a prophet. You must be a prophet of God. Because he told him that if you really knew the gift of God, who it was, you'd ask me for living water. For living water. Well, how can you give me some living water when the well is deep? I want to make that point. That I'm gonna close this message early. But how can you give me water when the well is deep? And you have nothing to draw with. First of all, this is what she's looking at. She thought that the blessings was going to come from the well that she was familiar with. She said there's a depth within the familiar well that could produce living water. You understand how a person can dig deep into the soil, and then they can tap into water, and then you may tap into a stream of water underneath the surface. I don't know a whole lot about that, but I understand that you can dig deeper and deeper and deeper until you tap into something where you can get some water here. Some of you could probably educate me on that much more than I can minister to you, but you know what I'm trying to say. So her attitude was that there's a depth in what I already know, or what I'm already familiar with, that I've not attained to as of yet. So that was really it. So some will begin to dig. You're digging in the wrong well. You're digging in the wrong well. You're digging in your familiar. You're fooling around in an area that you're comfortable in. You're comfortable with that. So therefore, you think that you're going to tap into the resources that God offer in digging in the direction of which that you're familiar. He said, it's not found there. It's not found there. So she was saying, well, the well is deep and you have nothing to draw with. So how can I have this living water? How can I have this living water? How is it possible for me to have living water when you don't even have the tools to even give yourself a drink? You can't even feed yourself. You can't even quench your own thirst. You have to ask me for some water. And then you're going to tell me that you have something to offer that could keep me from having to come to the well on a continual basis. He was saying, in essence, he said, you're speaking in the natural, and I'm trying to show you something in the realm of the spirit. I'm trying to show you something in the realm of the spirit, because once you tap into the spiritual, then it will satisfy every natural craving that you could possibly have. You see, because understand, get your sights set on heaven. And that's what, you see, I hear all the time people talking about what's wrong in the world and how we need to fix this thing, that thing, and the other. And they're working on this particular project and that particular project. They're involved in this, engaged in this activity, that activity. But they do not understand that, you know, I mentioned the Word of God, which takes us to a place of seeing Christ in a clear way. It is of utmost importance. And when that is in fact ignored, you'll always be striving but never attaining. But let me tell you something. Sometimes the striving can be very productive for those that have no vision for attainment. Why? Because it can still produce certain benefits, or it can be very lucrative if you do not fully attain. You know what I mean by this is that there are certain, and I hear this, I'm not scientific, so I don't know all. They tell me that there are certain diseases that scientifically have already been cured, already dealt with, but it would rock the pharmaceutical industry if those particular things were brought to an end. That's what I hear. I hear that there are conspiratorial things that take place in various parts of society, and then there are things that we understand. I understand that there are commercials that target certain communities, because even though they know that these things are destructive to the people in those communities, but it's done because it's lucrative. We know that there's music that's piped in and produced and supported by certain people, but understand that music is killing and producing violence, and it's causing havoc to run within households and all the other. But yet at the same time, it's lucrative. But if you bring resolve to those issues, you cut off the funds of those that are benefiting from the poison that's being spread in certain areas of society. But let me tell you something. When we look at that, if we begin to look at what God is really saying, he said, so now, as long as you keep the need, as long as that need is sustained, then, and as long as I'm benefiting as a result of you having a need, then we have the right kind of situation here. You have the need, I have a solution, but I'm not going to give you the whole solution. I'm going to give you just enough to keep you coming to me. And there's a whole lot of people that are duped into that kind of situation. But let me tell you something. God's desire is to take us beyond that. He said, I want to bring you to the place of tapping into the very resource that I receive my power from. I want you to be connected to my source. You see, I'm not going to hide anything from you, but I'm going to show you where it really is. You see, I get my strength from the Father. I do nothing lest my Father tell me to do it. And I want the fellowship that I have with the Father to be the same fellowship that you have with Him. But the only way you're going to get it is that you have to get it and enter into the relationship that exists between me and the Father. So now, as a minister, mine is to get you to a place so that you have no need for me. Are you hearing me now? You see, he said, have no need for a preacher, because we're talking about the ultimate now. Because in this life, you will need instructions. But you ought to get to a place that see, like I said, heaven, there's no preaching. And understand, it could very well happen If you are taking hold of what God is giving me to give to you, that many of you will outgrow me in your spiritual knowledge and understanding of the Lord. And guess what will happen then? I must decrease as you increase. When God, if God, and it's God's prerogative to give a greater, don't ever assume that you're there. Because if you assume that you're there, you're not there. You see, if you assume that you're there, then that's your pride speaking. But it could very well happen that God will begin to give the instructed knowledge beyond the instructor. Spiritual knowledge and understanding beyond the instructor, attaining more than all of his teachers. When that kind of thing takes place, you understand, ain't no pride thing then. It's a matter of switching roles. Because what's the objective? I want to know him. I want to know him as I am known. Those things and aspects of Christ that's unknown to me, that's our objective. It is not who, but what is yet to be known. What is of Christ yet to be known, and how can we get to the place of knowing him? It's not who, but it's what. What is God showing us? It just so happened that God has given me what you need right now, but understand this, and my passion is to make sure that you know it. But sad to say, there are many that's not interested in knowing because they think they already know. They don't need to be instructed. Why? Because they already have programs and projects and activities that surpass the simple instructions that they receive on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night. In their heads, in their minds. But the Lord is saying, all it's doing is getting a place of yes, there's a dependency upon what you offer. But yet it's not bringing resolve to the issue that's at hand. Only God can. So what we need, you heard the sermon, what we really need is him. Our deepest need is Christ. The thing that we need, it's Jesus. And we must all be on a quest to know him. We must desire to know him in ways we've never, ever known him before. Let me say this to you, and I say this to the larger church. I say this to Christendom. Don't get locked into a church experience that is not contributing to spiritual growth and development, or that is impressive to the mind or to the psyche, that the reason that you are there is because of appearance. But understand, the heart must be, Lord, I want to know you. There's depth. I mentioned about the song. Do you realize that can be revolutionary? The messages, you see, if the message is revolutionary, then the song can be revolutionary. But if the message is revolutionary, the song is revolutionary, and the people are on a quest to know the Lord in ways that Christ is not known to the generation, then the people are being set for a revival. You see, because now what you are becoming will become so contagious that those that are looking for satisfaction, like the woman at Samaria, where are you? Well, I've had all these husbands. And now I've given up on marriage, and I might as well shag up. Let's put this in a contemporary setting. Let's say we might as well do common law. We might as well do common law marriage because, you see, look like marriage is messing up this thing, because when you make that commitment, look like the person go crazy once you sign on the dotted line. So what I'm going to do now, I'm not going to sign any papers. We're just going to stand before each other and say, I take you to be my woman. And then there are some that get to the place, they say, look, the women have really messed me up. Every time I get in a relationship with a woman, I always get my heart broken. So I'm tired of women now. You see, so they go to men. Or it may be vice versa. Woman said, she said, I keep getting my heart broken. Look, like every man, I can't trust any of them. But my friends are very close to me. Most of the time, that's the way it is with women. And men is usually taken advantage of, or someone that have taken advantage of them in life. But the woman is friendship. It's friendships. You say, every time, I can't bond with the opposite sex. But it looked like when I'm with my friends, we bond and look, and I need that level of intimacy that I cannot find in the opposite sex. So maybe, just maybe, I'm not a straight. Maybe I'm gay. Do you see that? So you see what the enemy, but the pursuit is for something that's deeper. The pursuit, they settle for what? You're digging in the wrong well. You're digging in the well of the familiar. And God is saying, I want to change your pursuit to a different well. I want you to realize that there's something that I can offer you that's much deeper than the place that you're currently focusing your attention upon. This is what God is wanting to do in your life. He is saying that I want you to know that Jesus is yet your answer. Jesus is still the answer. Jesus is the answer. He said, but the problem is, I don't care how long you've been in church, there are still aspects of Jesus that you don't know, because you wouldn't be so empty if you had known it. And if you had known it, you would be so hungry and so eager to hear the word of God that nothing will get you to a place of not availing yourself to receive the life-giving word of God. I'm talking to those that have issues. Those of you that's hungry and thirsting after righteousness, you will be filled. But those that have issue with that, and you're at a place you say, well, I can kind of take it or leave it, or I don't see the relevancy of it all. Let me tell you something. There's a well that you've not tapped into yet, as of yet. Come to the water, all you that thirst. Come to the water and be refreshed. Oh, God has something for you. Oh, I wish I could show it to you. I wish I could make it known to you. That's what I'm trying to do. That God has something for you that you won't find in religion. What I mean, religiously engaged in activity. I mentioned that early on, where you just do, this is the way we do church. It's not found there. But God is saying, but in me, when you tap into the Lord, then you're going to tap into a resource that will continue to refresh you. I can be at my worst. Let me tell you something. I'm going through one of the worst challenges that I could possibly go through. But at the same time, on the external, I may look sad. But on the inside, when I get to praying, I say, Lord, I don't know why my spirit is just jumping on the inside. Why am I leaping? Because the Lord is saying, what I place within you is enough to take you through the external. You see, the internal. You know that. The internal, that which God develops on the inside. You say, well, I don't suppose to be happy. I don't suppose to be rejoicing. Why is this joy welling up on the inside of me? He said, it's like rivers of living water. The rivers are flowing. He said, I'm going to tap you in. I'm going to let you tap into resources beyond human reasoning. I'll place, if you believe in me, as the scripture says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So, Father, I pray that there be a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, that people will stop looking in the wrong direction, that those under the sound of my voice will be at a place where they will realize that there's more than just routine available to them. That this is real, that this is not just getting this religious thing off of us so that we at least feel as if we've done the right thing. But my prayer is that the message heard will become life within the heart of each that hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you